www.theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. The three W's dot theinternationalforecaster.com.
All right, Freedomizers, we are back. Unitubers here with me, Proof Negative, Freedomizer Radio, and just some show updates for the rest of the week for you guys on the Proof Negative show. I will be having on tomorrow Rosalind Peterson from California Skywatch. We're going to be getting into the radiation and food. So she's going to try and teach us what to watch out for. We're going to have Da Vinci J, the big YouTube silver guy. We're going to be discussing gold and silver. Thursday, we're going to have on Alan Phillips from VaccineRights.com. Next week is big. We got Andrew Hoffman Monday. Tuesday, we have Bob Chapman. Wednesday, we have Lindsay Williams. So please tune in for that. And I'm going to be plugging that on a regular basis. So I want to see this chat room blow up.
Excuse me. Yeah, busy
anyway,
week.
Oh, it's going to be. And that's how I want it. I want it always to be that busy. But right now we have two guests. Of course, the Liberty professor, or they should say the professor at Liberty University, Daniel Howell. And we have Rob Ninus joining us for the first time as well. Hello, guys.
Hey, how are you?
Hi.
I'm adequate.
You're adequate. Are you barefoot?
Oh, why wouldn't I be? Yeah, you're preaching to the choir here. So, anyway, Unitubers, my co-host.
Hi, Unitubers.
We met her last time, Dan.
Hi, Unit. This is Bob Ninus.
Hi. How are you?
Doing okay.
Good. Are you barefoot?
Yeah.
I'm making sure we get that square now.
That's a ridiculous question to ask around here. Now, that's like asking everybody if we speak English. Pretty much.
Right. Do you breathe?
Anyway, where do we want to go first? You know, I'll let you start this, but yeah, today was a big holiday, I guess, for Tom's.
Yippee.
Big money-making opportunity.
Yeah.
It gives us some promotion at the same time, so that's fine.
Yeah, but as you also know, it also tends to propagate some of the various myths associated with barefooting. So there's pluses and minuses.
Do you guys know what their slogan was this year? Last year it was, it's hard without shoes.
I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I don't know it. I don't pay attention.
Yeah, I didn't hear about that either this year. Maybe it wasn't so hard.
So what was it this year? How much money can we make?
Yeah, probably.
Right. So, Rob, you haven't been here yet before. We've been on the air like 2 years around here, and we have, if you've heard of Pedal before, since you're from the days of the old group, I can't remember, the DSS, I guess?
Right, the Dirty Souls.
I can barely remember the old group, but anyway, you had an issue with regards to to a library, and for the past year or so, we've had the Pedal Hour, which is for the website People Ending Discrimination on Looks.
Okay, I'm vaguely familiar with them.
Okay. Yeah, that was my puppy that started back in the end of 97, and I when I started Freedomizer Radio, I pretty much started ignoring that site. So I humbly apologize, but this is a much bigger undertaking here.
Okay, cool.
But anyway, you know, I don't think is familiar with your story about the library, so go ahead and familiarize yourself with that.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Group.
Okay, it was actually 10 years ago. 2 days ago, that I filed a lawsuit against the Columbus Metropolitan Library for denying me access to the library while being barefoot. I actually, as far as I was concerned, it was partly, I mean, of course, it's a personal freedom issue. How dare they tell me such a thing? But also, there were also First Amendment issues, and that it turns out that freedom of speech includes not only the freedom to give speech, but the freedom to receive speech. And that's well documented in various court cases, Supreme Court cases. And so when you get the First Amendment involved, you can often get what's called a higher level of scrutiny, where the courts are supposed to only allow sorts of regulations that really, really, you know, really, really mean something. So I figured, okay, this is interesting to do it. Libraries are quintessential places for receiving speech, the books that are in there and everything. And so I basically on my own went and filed a lawsuit, U.S. 42 U.S. 1983 lawsuit for violating my rights. Other interesting pieces of that were that the library actually did not have an official shoe rule, but they still kicked me out anyways. All they had was something that was written by their director that said, oh, yeah, we will kick out barefoot people. On the other hand, under Ohio law, directors aren't allowed to make regulations. Only the Board of Trustees are, and the Board of Trustees hadn't. So I figured I had a couple of decent ways to win, one on the First Amendment grounds, another on this the fact that the regulation itself didn't even exist. Well, to make a long story short, I didn't win. I actually filed my case in state court, but they moved it to the Federal District Court of Southern Ohio. And when I lost there, I appealed it. And so I actually was before the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals down in Cincinnati. Of course, since I was pro se, they would not let me do oral argument or anything. But basically, they ended up saying, ooh, there might be glass on the floor. Oh, there's a broken chair on the floor. There's poo in the restroom. Therefore, we can stop you. Therefore, it's a perfectly good rule.
Yeah, I like the whole glass issue, and I remember once going to a Baskin-Robbins, and they brought up the, well, there could be broken glass in here. So I just asked point blank to the manager, well, what glass products do you sell in your ice cream? And they didn't have an answer, but they said, well, someone could just drive up and shoot through the windows.
Well, someone's
going to shoot through the windows. The last thing I'm thinking about is what's on the ground.
Exactly. Not only that, most glass windows these days are tempered glass, which means that when it breaks, it forms these little shards that really aren't sharp at all. So,
yeah,
and all I know is that I'm Italian and I'm of Italian and Jewish descent, and I'm from New York, and I know I was taught don't ever sit by the windows at an Italian restaurant. So the best Italian restaurants don't have front windows in New York.
Well, I think the most disappointing here is you've got the owner of this ice cream shop or whatever giving really bogus reasons.
Yes.
Deny you the right of going barefoot, and you also have court judges doing the exact same thing, giving some bogus reasons to deny a person their rights, and I don't understand it.
I think it should be a matter of personal choice of the store owner and the people who choose to be barefoot. Very similar circumstance with personal firearms ownership and carrying rules. I may have a permit, you know, for example, let's say I have a permit to carry a firearm. I can carry that wherever the law entitles me unless a store owner says, I don't like guns, or in this case, I don't like barefoot people being on my place of business. So by law, it doesn't matter if you have a permit to carry a firearm concealed or openly or not. That's completely irrelevant. That store owner has the right to say, I don't want that on my place of business. I think people should have to respect that. But
the difference here is that, you know, what Bob was going is he wants access to a public library, not a private business.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
which is legal. It's the same type of law applies. That should be somebody's legal right to go in there to do that. And I don't see how they can just simply ban it just because they are opposed to it. In the same scenario with personal firearms, you know, it's the same type of scenario. We are allowed within our rights as American citizens to do certain things. If a certain place of business is private and doesn't want you allowed to be in their place doing this or that, they have the right to put up a sign that says whatever it is they don't want. But they can't make a law out of it, and they can't ban people from a place, especially a public-run place.
Well, going back to the library thing, I mean, if a unit of government really has the power to ban bare feet, okay, such as a library, then that means they have the power to ban bare feet out on the street, in a park, anywhere. We're totally subject to whatever, to the whims of whoever happens to write the rules for that particular location. Historically, mm-hmm. the police power, which is what they use to protect, you know, protect people with, has never included protecting you against your own folly. It always has been used, has always been defined, in fact, as the power to protect, to stop me from hurting you. So if you look at almost all laws of one sort or regulations of one sort or another, they are not to protect me against myself, but to protect me from hurting you, like murder laws, theft, all that sort of stuff is a proper use of the police power, okay?
Well, and that even goes back to the days of common law. These basic laws are created to protect people from others, not from yourself.
Right, and that's what's called the police power. If you read any of this, you know, there's, you know, back in the 1870s, whatever, there's some really nice treatises on this sort of stuff, and where they talk about exactly what the police power is. And it's basically to protect the general health and welfare the health and welfare of the public, of the general public, but not a specific ones. Even sometimes, now they've been slowly, as so many other things, in the last 30, 40 years, have been edging further and further and further into personal freedoms, in that they're seatbelt laws. But if you look at the court cases that said that seatbelt laws were okay, they always did it in terms of protecting others from you, in that if you are not belted in, you don't have control of a vehicle. So they used that, they kind of at least expanded it in a semi-reasonable fashion. They also further expanded it in terms of seatbelt laws, that when you are in an accident, I mean, it's really, really expensive. And there's, you know, medical stuff, whatever. So that is a burden on society. Admittedly, mm-hmm. that's a little more abstract. But on the other hand, you were talking about massive injuries. Nobody is saying that you're going to be getting massive injuries from stepping on a tack. Okay? It's totally different.
Right.
Okay? So once again, they, for this case, they have completely ignored any of the traditional uses or anything like that from the police power. They almost always have justified it. And you know, you saying protecting against others. And I have no idea whether these are just ignorant judges, though, I mean, it's certainly been pointed out to them in the briefs, or sometimes I just think that they already just know what the answer is. They know the answer is that bare feet should not be allowed in a library, and what can I make up in order to justify that when it comes to writing the ruling?
I think it's a matter of judges being influenced by the sway of popular opinion, not fact, not law.
And myth, too, in addition to opinion. But, yeah, myth,
right,
too.
Right.
They believe it as much as anybody.
And there's still there is this general erosion of our freedoms and the encroachment on our personal freedoms. I have another example of last summer. I and my family were going to take a little canoe trip down a river, and we did. We got it in our canoe, and we got on the river, and it was me and my children and my father. And immediately when we got in the river, we hadn't been on the water for literally 60 seconds when two guys paddled up to us, and you know, we thought they were just going to strike up conversation, and it turns out they were undercover river cops. And they wanted to know if we all had life jackets. And we had five people, but we only had four life jackets. And we ended up, they pulled us out of the water, wrote us a ticket, and we had to get out of the water and go home. This was a great it was a traumatic event for my children, and I used it as a wonderful lesson on the inappropriate use of power, police power.
Right.
But there's absolutely no reason to require a life jacket on a person. In fact, they don't even require – the law in Virginia does not require you to wear the life jacket, only to have it in your boat, in your canoe with you.
Right, right.
So
it's the same here in Michigan.
It's been lobbied to sell their life jackets. But this is a protection of, you know, protecting me against myself.
Daniel, I'm not sure I'd go quite that far in that what it really is, they generally cannot make you wear it because that is protecting against yourself, but they can say that as a vehicle, there are certain requirements that vehicles have on them, and so that's kind of how they get away with that. Another thing they often will do when they're looking at compelling reasons for protecting folks against themselves is when it does come to children.
Right, but we had
they will often say that when it comes to children that they have more power to actually protect children because children cannot properly protect themselves.
And I absolutely agree with that. But we actually had three children and two adults, and we had four life jackets. Three of them were – the children were actually wearing them, even though the law doesn't require it. As good parents, I had them in their life jackets. We only had one life jacket between me and my dad. We figured we could get by with that. But it wasn't good enough for the cops, and they ended up pulling us out and writing us a ticket. And, you know, we had actually searched around. We had done our duty. We had driven around for an hour looking for life jackets to purchase, tried to buy them. But it's just I don't see that. I see that as plainly trying to protect me against myself. If I want to get on the river without a life jacket, fine. My kids had them all.
It should be. You're right. Yeah. I want to mention something.
Those laws have been in effect for a long time, so you know that's when
they have.
That was lost long ago.
They have.
Well, remember, Minister Fortson, speaking of dumb laws here, and we'll get back to the topic at hand, but one of our former show hosts that's still a very good friend of mine, he once got arrested for fishing with two fishing poles.
Really?
And if that's not bad legislation, then I don't know what
you
is.
You can't have one in each hand, huh?
No. Yeah, he tried to say this is for my friend. He'll be right back, but that didn't work.
Yeah. Well, once again, I can tell you how the state justifies that, and that is that the state officially owns the fish, so they can regulate how you go and take the state's property.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Well, they officially own the sidewalk, so are they going to regulate how we walk on it?
I guess so.
Aren't there some cities that, not cities, but certain areas that do that? Like, I want to say the boardwalk somewhere in Atlantic City or Maryland, one of those areas. I remember
Cape
reading
May.
It. But
it's Cape May.
Okay.
And there's another boardwalk farther up the Jersey coast. It's not Atlantic City, but it's right near there. Yes, now Cape May. Oh, there's two of them, and I'd have to look it up to give you the exactly which ones they were. In Cape May, they actually want you being properly dressed after 7 o'clock in the evening, because they want it to look ritzy, and bare feet don't look ritzy enough. But there actually is another town along the Jersey Shore there that did it because they don't want you to get splinters in your feet. So I always thought that was kind of interesting that somehow you could prohibit something because you are failing in your duty to properly maintain something.
Right, and that goes along the lines of if two 3-year-olds were playing there and they both got splinters, the state would have no problem paying that, but if it goes in your ankle, then that's different.
Right. If they do, if they're kneeling on the boardwalk, you know, if they're kneeling on the boardwalk or playing it on it or whatever, that's okay. You know, on kids or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But if you happen to do it with your bare feet, where you should expect it with your bare feet, then it's not. Oh, the other place is Ocean City, New Jersey, and
I remember that one.
The boardwalk regulation specifically says, it is unlawful to walk on the public public boardwalk or on the steps or approaches thereto without shoes, sandals, or other protective devices adequate to prevent injuries to the general public.
So not to the person, but to the other people?
No. That's one of the ones where they're trying to protect you against yourself. But nobody.
Well, why don't we all just walk around with football helmets? I mean, if I'm in China Mart, I might want to grab a 50-pound bag of dog food, and I might bang my my head against the shelf.
There was actually an interesting case that I tried to cite in my lawsuit. It was the city of Palm Beach. The guy's name was Deweese. And the city of Palm Beach, this was probably, 20, 30 years ago now, banned men being shirtless.
Uh-huh.
Because it did not meet their standards of being a really ritzy place. And so Deweese was jogging shirtless and they tried to arrest him for it and all this other sort of stuff. And a regulation like this gets analyzed under something called a rational basis, which means if the government could come up with any rational reason for banning something, it's okay. And that's why we always lose any of these freedom sorts of cases, okay? Because they can come up with what's called a rational. Unless you can get something that has to do with the Bill of Rights, you're always going to be on rational basis, so you almost always lose. Well, this is a case where Deweese actually won on rational basis, where the court said, I'm sorry. There's no indication this is going to hurt property values. There's no indication this, that, or the thing. So Deweese won.
Uh-huh.
And he overturned this thing about not being able to jog shirtless. And I kind of thought to myself, well, they just weren't creative enough. They should have said he had to wear a shirt to prevent him from sunburn and thereby possibly getting cancer. And then he would have been protecting him against him. You know, I mean, I just thought of this myself, but it's like, yeah, the only reason anybody ever wins these things is because the government wasn't creative enough and coming up with stupid excuses.
Well, let me ask you this then. With the American Disabilities Association, say you got a doctor's note, can a store still tell you have to scram if you have a doctor's note stating that this is healthy for you?
That's a very interesting question. It has never been tested in court. And when push comes to shove, that's always the answer. Has it been tested in court? I know of folks who really have had doctor's notes, and the store says, of yours, we're not going to pay attention. You still can't come in here barefoot. So then what are you going to do? All you can possibly do is sue them. Well, of course, a lot of us aren't, full of money. We just can't go. We can't normally afford this sort of stuff unless we can get an ACLU or somebody else to help finance it. And they take very, very, very few cases. The only reason I was able to do my lawsuit stuff was because I was an arrogant SOB who figured I could do it pro se. And I still lost. So maybe I may have been wrong on that.
Well, I don't know because, it was worth a try, and you did get a lot of press for that.
That is true. That's true, but some of it's good. I mean, it was really interesting when that was getting the press. I do a lot of barefoot hiking. I'm a real hiker. I do a lot of hiking since since I started actually keeping track of it in January of 2006. And
by the way, he's got a really great blog, so why don't you tell us what your blog is?
It's on WordPress. Okay, so the name of the blog is Aqua, A-H-C-U-A-H.
Oh, wow.
It's aqua.wordpress.com, and so that has a bunch of descriptions of this stuff. Since 2006, I've hiked 1,300 miles over all sorts of places.
Nice.
Yellowstone, a lot of here in Ohio where I live, you name it. I've hiked in just about everything.
Sorry, I didn't mean to have the dead air. I just figured someone else would pick up there. Sorry about that.
I
forgot what I talked about.
While you guys are talking. Yeah.
We're all just passing the buck, I guess, but... Yeah, Daniel, we haven't heard much from you in a while, though, if you want to continue on.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you what, I love hearing from Bob because, he's the expert on all things legal. So tell us, it is, except for a handful of places in the country, it is actually legal to go barefoot in public pretty much everywhere.
Let me expand on that before you get into that. I've owned two brick-and-mortar stores in my life. I've owned a comedy club, a small chain of comedy clubs that failed, and I've owned a baseball card store. And both times I had to get insurance for my business for liability, and I asked everybody when doing insurance quotes if there's a premium or if I get a discount if I don't allow shoeless in, and they said they've never heard of such a regulation, and they considered it laughable. Nothing in the contracts when you sign that states anything as far as that goes. All they care about is there construction, is there hot grease or something that would cause injury to an employee.
The problem with that I've run into is, okay, you know, there's the routine that barefooters experience when they go into
I know where you're going, Dan.
Confronted. Yeah. And so, you know, the first one is the health code, and the second one is, you know, maybe the law, whatever, the OSHA or something like that. And finally, sometimes it comes down to liability. But the problem is, you know, unless you can force them to show you their contract, you can't prove they're wrong on that. But I've heard from other people, like what you've just said, that it's a laughable thing, and it's not really in existence in any insurance policy.
Well, I forced the library to show me their insurance policy, and there was nothing in the library's insurance policy.
Yeah.
Right, and even though most of the people out there probably have never tried to experience this before, the fact of the matter is I wanted to bring this to the attention here because for all the laws that they want to pass, the government goes, these are non-laws that people are getting arrested for or getting tickets for or getting thrown out of businesses for and things like that, for laws that aren't even on the books. So I just wanted to let everybody know why we go into this.
Yeah, I mean, I know earlier Unit was talking about whether private concerns, stores and stuff, should be able to keep barefooters out. And I somewhat agree with her, and I somewhat don't agree with her. And let me just say why. Mm-hmm. If I'm in a wall, in your comedy club, okay, you're the owner. So when you say, if you were to say, I do not want a barefooter in there, or I do not want somebody with a tongue stud or some other equally silly thing in there, I know that you're the owner and you're the one that it's your wishes that are coming out. Now, if I'm trying to go into a Walmart and I have some idiot of a manager who's first of all saying, It's a health code, and then he backs off when I show him a letter saying, no, it's not a health code. And then he backs off and says, oh, well, it's insurance regulations. And, well, no, it's not that. And then he goes back, well, it's Walmart policy. And then I find, well, it's not Walmart policy. Okay, who's the owner there? Okay, it's not for those sorts of big box sorts of places, these big corporations. Mm-hmm. How do we even have a clue whether they are following what the owners really want? In fact, in some sense, I am an owner of Walmart because I own mutual funds, and the mutual funds own Walmart stock and all that stuff. Well,
okay. There's
no way for me to be able to really effectively give any sort of owner. You know, if you actually polled all the owners of Walmart that are real people, not just corporations, who knows what the answer would be? And then if you actually educated them, you know, again, you might get a different answer. So there's a big difference in my view between –
Right, and
mom
I'll
and
expand on that too here. As far as that, that's another reason to go to mom and pops, because most of the time the average person isn't going to research this. They just want to go through their daily business and make sure that they're not breaking any laws. And once you can break that barrier down, then the average mom and pop who might need your $192 transaction in order to make their rent the next month is going to let you in over and over again because they know that, hey, this person has money and
I don't know. Personally,
there's no regulation. But a big conglomerate might be the exact opposite, and all they have to do is say, well, it's the policy, and they just expect you to follow that.
My personal experience is that mom and pop places give me just as much trouble.
Oh, sorry. If you ask them to send you a copy of the policy, say, oh, well, we don't have a written copy of it. It's like, right.
Mm. Someone in chat earlier, a regular listener of ours, Zach, he mentioned something. It was a very good point. He said, I agree that we should be able to wear what we want. It should be a personal choice. Just simply indemnify the business owner from any liability. That seems to me to be what the big issue is. People worried about being sued, frivolous lawsuits, this and that. If business owners knew that they were completely not liable for any accidents that happen to someone who chooses to be barefoot, because that is their right, it's their choice.
I don't know that that's necessarily true. I don't think that's true anymore. I think that what it really comes down to is it's just not socially acceptable. And the liability issue, the health code issue, the OSHA issues, all of these things are just used to support their opinion that this is socially unacceptable and we don't want you in here. I don't even really think it comes down to liability in most cases.
Well,
if
there was some type of statute or legislation put in to where business owners were no longer liable for people who make the choice to be barefoot in, you know, the location of that business or whatever,
case law already pretty much says that, okay, mm-hmm. that if you actually read what the case law says about the duty of stores – and that sort of stuff, and there's also stuff called comparative negligence, we all know that if I stepped on something and cut my foot and sued, and there's something called comparative negligence where they say if the person that got injured was more than 50% responsible, then
that
they get nothing.
The choice to be barefoot. Right.
Right. That's already in the case law. Okay, so it's not like it's basically already there. Now, admittedly, the business may not know this, and they're still paranoid, and they still have to go through the, you know, if they were sued, they'd still have to go through the thing of defending themselves. So if there were a law that were clearer, it might be better.
Let me expand on that here, because this came up in the chat room, and they said that, yes, they are responsible for liability, but why are they only worried about one particular body part when, for example, when I buy dog food and I buy the biggest 50-pound bag, or if there's a 60-pound, I'll grab that and I'll carry it in one hand. I mean, that's just – I don't want to grab a cart just for one item that I can carry. And if I threw my back out, yeah, the store would be liable. But you're not going to have someone come up to me and say, sir, you need a back brace.
Yeah, but
well, it's even worse than
that. If I'm
making copies, if I'm making flyers for Freedomizer Radio at Kinko's, they're not going to say, hey, where's your gloves? You might get a paper cut.
But it's even worse because they allow customers.
Right.
They allow customers with high-heeled shoes. And, you know, high-heeled shoes put tens of thousands of women in the hospital every year. So if they're concerned about safety and footwear, they ought to be telling them to take those off.
You know, I do most of the family shopping at our local Kroger's, and I have injured myself in Kroger exactly once when I cut my finger on one of their automatic coupon dispensers.
I remember that story. That's funny.
All of us having this conversation know that that the dangers are not real. Or they're way overblown. I don't know if shoe wearing people really believe that going barefoot is that dangerous, or if it's something else to it.
I think they've never done it, so they don't have a clue.
Yeah.
Which is why I guess the whole Toms thing comes to issue. Hey, at least people could say they've tried it, and then don't looking back, they could say, hey, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah. In fact, I've heard of some folks have been converted by the Toms shoes experience. That the Society for Barefoot Living has actually gotten new members who did Tom's shoes and said, oh, this is nice, looked it up on the internet and said, oh, I want to join. So it's happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of those cases too.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard me before, Dan, when I was talking, and I thought it was on the 15th, and I had the day off. I plan on going out of town. I planned on trying to see what kind of rallies I can do, and I just found out yesterday, and I already allocated all my time off for later on in the month because I'm getting married.
Congratulations. The 15th is when taxes are due.
I realize that, but, hey, that would be a good excuse, too. I can't afford any.
Actually, this year they're not due until
the
15th is – yeah, they're not due till the Monday following, which is the 18th for some reason.
I thought it was the Tuesday, but I could be wrong. It's either one of them.
It's something like that, but for once it's not the 15th. So you have at least two or three more days to procrastinate. I sure will.
But thankfully,
yeah, I'm one of those that got a refund due to a business loss. So I was one of the very first people that wanted my money.
Yeah.
So listen, what do we do? I have found that when you go into a place barefoot and they confront you, that they cannot be educated. 99 times out of 100, they will not listen. You cannot. They will not be convinced by health code letters. They will not be convinced by talking to them about liability. So what is it
you
take
could
for
work
us?
For the health department and they won't care.
Yeah, so what is it going to take for us to kind of turn this thing around if they're not willing to listen or be educated? What do you guys think?
Well, I was hoping that winning a library lawsuit would make a big difference, but we see where that went.
I was hoping that writing a book would make a big difference, but we see where that went.
Well, there could be one, and if Tom was to get serious about it, it opens some doors, I guess, and it makes it almost acceptable for one day. And if they were able to get more businesses involved, and even though that's the opposite of what their promotion's about, but if it was made acceptable to do it on one day, then people would say, hey, this isn't so bad. I should do this more often.
And
yeah,
one thing
so
silly about that,
Dan, I'll go ahead and let you go first here. Sorry, I heard both of you at once.
No, I'm just saying I agree with you, and I really think that this Tom thing, as much as it irritates us barefooters, that we could really benefit from this if we you know, use it right.
Yeah,
honestly, I wish it was towards the end of the month and not the beginning, because you're not going to influence people when it's 11 degrees out in New Hampshire or Minnesota.
Well, you know, that's got
to
be
the snow.
That is strategic, don't you know? They're not going to do it in the middle of winter because nobody will do it. They're not going to do it in the middle of summer because everybody will like it. If they do it in the spring, and they do it early enough in the spring, people will go barefoot and they'll not have a good time.
Towards the end of April would be fine.
Yes, but this is perfect. If it's cold and wet and rainy, but warm enough to actually do it without getting frostbite, that's perfect for Tom. It proves their point.
The other thing about this, the Tom shoes, is if it's really that dangerous, you shouldn't do it for even a day.
That's true.
You know, so
I mean, think about
the light of that.
If the government says, you know what, seatbelts are really important, they're really good for us, just to prove it, why don't we all go for a day without seatbelts?
Let me see if I can slightly switch topics here. Now, Daniel, are there actually at Liberty University, are there people that teach Constitution there as well?
Oh, yes, we have a law school.
I'm just letting everybody know here because there might not be someone that knows too well of Liberty University, so I'm just stating the obvious here.
Yeah, and in fact, just recently I think our law school, which is only about 5 or 6 years old, but is already like one of the top 10 in the nation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, so one of my questions would be, does something like this, where we're losing our freedoms, go along the same lines of, say, Virginia, as an example? I'm just giving an example here. I don't remember which state it was, but they want to ban public smoking in parks, in beaches. Does that have any correlation? Or
probably. I mean, it's the busybody, you know, impulse. I mean, you can kind of see it. You can at least justify it within a building. Okay,
mm-hmm.
In that there are, you know, secondhand smoke, there does seem to be medical studies that show the dangers of that. So if you stop me from smoking in a bar or whatever, you're protecting the other people in the bar. But out on a beach, out in a park, you're not protecting, once again, just getting to protecting you against yourself.
Could live in a townhouse community and there's no backyard because you own a townhouse. And you can't even smoke in your backyard because your backyard is technically a park.
See, I want to grab on that just for a minute and talk about this again, protecting you against yourself thing, because I'm really concerned about where we're headed as a culture with that issue. I had my students
I had my students write a paper last year on should a person be able to go barefoot in public if they want to, just yes or no, and give me your reasons. And several students came back with reasons like, no, they shouldn't, because if they hurt themselves, then who has to pay for it? We all have to pay for it. I think it goes back to, you know, why do you have to wear a life jacket? Well, one reason is if you end up getting hurt, you know, why do you have to wear a helmet on a motorcycle? Well, if you get hurt, somebody's got this idea, and then, you know, put that in perspective with Obamacare and all this stuff with the health industry being in turmoil. Mm-hmm. This idea of health care is so expensive, and when you hurt yourself, we have to pay for it. That is a dangerous place to be going, and it's not good for us barefooters.
And the thing is, it can go anywhere. You know, it can be, if you go outside, you must be wearing sunscreen. You know, I mean, once you head down that path.
Well, you must have on a long sleeve shirt.
Yeah.
You know, like Russia, there's the, what religious group is that? But they're talking about making a legitimate dress code for all its citizens out in particular areas. I don't know, it's entire cities, or it could be the entire state or the country. But I know they're talking about it. The clerics are talking about it.
That's a scary thought.
So, yeah, some of us, some people in the room can laugh at this, but what's next? I mean, we're already seeing people getting arrested for something as trivial as having saggy pants.
Yeah. Virginia.
Yeah, both of those were thrown out, though, eventually. It took a while.
Yeah.
But then the one reason it was thrown
out
is because they were able to
see racism.
You can
legitimately walk down the street in your boxers.
You can walk down the street in a thong.
I've seen it.
Maybe Una can.
But legally you can.
Illegally you can.
That's scary. No, yeah, you see video clips, you see people in the news, you got the naked cowboy guy in New York wearing
a ticket people, but other than that, you're right.
If people can get away wearing that kind of stuff, why can't they get away with nothing on their feet? I don't get it.
Well, because feet are so terrible. Don't you understand? You know?
Well, which brings up a question, too, regarding clothes. And I've always wondered this myself. Being in Las Vegas and on the Las Vegas Strip, I don't know why no place wants to offer strip poker.
Huh.
The strip poker capital of the world every year. The National Strip Poker Tournament is in London.
Hmm.
That's an interesting thought.
Isn't and prostitution is legal in Nevada, right?
Everywhere except Clark County, which is Las Vegas.
Oh, okay, I see.
Well, what gets me is you have to be 21 to be in these places, so why couldn't they have a room where people can play their game of choice, and then at the end they can put their clothes on if they win them back or whatever. I don't know. But
About this clothing issue, because you can have, you know, I've been wearing long sleeve shirts and jeans, full length jeans, and barefoot, and be kicked out of a place while a person standing beside me is some woman who's almost naked, wearing the shortest shorts you could possibly put on, and a tight, you know, short tank top kind of foot, and it's perfectly okay for all of that skin to be exposed,
and probably 3-inch heels too.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You can have on just paper thin flip flops and have your feet on top of them as you're doing your order.
Well, we all know that there's no logic in this.
Yeah, and you can have curse words tattooed on your arms and everything. That doesn't matter.
I don't know. I still think that, you know, it's a matter of education. It's a matter of educating people that feet are not gross, that they're capable of doing things that we've been brainwashed into thinking that they're not, and that they're nasty because they've been kept in shoes all of our lives. But I'm hoping that still it's just a matter of education, and I think we can ride on the back of Toms and things like that and to get people to realize that bare feet are no worse than bare hands, actually better than bare hands in many respects
right.
In terms of safety, health and safety.
Not just health and safety. I mean, I have friends who go barefoot because it makes their back stops hurting. It makes their knees stop hurting.
Right.
Okay, and as soon as they start wearing shoes again, even for short periods of time, it misaligns thing or something. I mean, this it really is, you know, an immediate health issue.
Yes, and I don't understand. Again, if you stop the average person on the street and ask them, you know, do feet need arch supports? Do feet need support? The answer is yes. Or I have bad feet, so I need arch supports. And I'm astounded, but I'm glad that the medical community is beginning to come around. And if we can get the medical community to turn around
barely
and say, you know what, the shoes are actually doing more harm than good, then that would, you know, seep into the public's mind too. And I am encouraged, actually, at there are podiatrists and there are doctors that are reevaluating the shoe-foot relationship and are coming to terms with the fact that the barefoot is best.
Good point. Very good point.
All right. I'm looking here at the time. It looks like my hour allotment is almost up here. So if either of you have anything you want to plug, and Daniel, maybe we'll work on having you next month. When are you doing that? There's a conference. There's some upcoming events that Daniel's going to be doing as well.
Yeah, the next thing I'm going to be doing is a conference in Portland, Oregon, called Dare to Go Bare, or I think is what it's called. It's being held by some podiatrists, some barefoot-friendly podiatrists, and other healthcare workers are putting this conference together to help educate people about the benefits of going barefoot and the hazards of poor choices in shoes and wearing shoes too much. So, that's in Portland, Oregon, Dare to Go Bare conference. Finished the Women's Expo.
One of the reasons I wanted to do this here is just to let everybody know that even if you don't like a particular choice of what somebody's wearing, you can't exactly just decide on your own that there needs to be laws about it. And when we start regulating what people are looking like, then that pretty much doesn't separate us too much from North Korea.
I just want to go ahead and plug, make sure everybody knows that there is the Barefoot book, and I have the website, barefootprofessor.com, so they can get more information.
What's the website again? You said it too fast. I couldn't type it.
barefootprofessor.com.
Hey, let me see if someone wants to join us real quick before you guys take off. Nikki, if you're by the phone, say hi. All right, she's listening to us. She's probably not around. Oh, well, that's all right.
And by the way, I just want to say I do have the book, and it's a really good book. I read it. I found out some very information, very important information, rather, in the book. Some very good statistics, very good points, and I'm very glad I have it. I share it with people when they come over. I always make sure that's sitting out on the coffee table.
Well, good. Also, in the back of the book is some of the research that I did. It's a big collection of lawsuits that were filed against stores and stuff by people who were wearing high heels or sandals or whatever and got injured because of it. So Dan was nice to include that additional information in his book.
Yeah. Something else I want to point out, too, there are – people who would say that, well, there's lots more injuries because people being barefoot. Very rarely when someone has an injury because of a barefoot decision, it's not a person who is regularly barefoot. People who are regularly barefoot very, very rarely have injuries to their feet because your feet become very versatile. You can go places. You can walk on things. You can stub your toes, and it doesn't hurt as if you don't have that what they call tenderfoot syndrome. You know, I can go out and walk out to the mailbox down the drive and back barefoot in the grass or even in the gravel driveway. It doesn't hurt my feet, you know. And people say, well, your feet are going to get all tough and calloused and gross. I don't have any calluses. I'm going to brag a little. I think I have beautiful feet, you know. I mean, they're pretty. I keep them clean. I keep them painted and, you know, or my nails anyway. But
well, yeah, well, I don't like elbows.
Feet are
so
not
gross. You wear elbow pads.
People have.
Well, you made a mention in your book in one of the chapters. I haven't read it in this past month. I read it the month before that. But your feet will begin to toughen up on the bottom. They will become very smooth and actually quite soft, yet very tough, almost like an invisible leather at the bottom of your feet. And it's absolutely true. I had stepped on little bitty pieces of glass or gotten splinters, and they didn't hurt. You know, I could tell if there was an annoyance or something at the bottom of my foot, And I, you know, oh, there's a little piece of glass or a splinter or something, but no serious injury. You know, it just doesn't happen. I've stubbed my toes. I've cracked a toenail here or there or something from because I'm barefoot a lot. But I don't have injuries to my feet because of being barefoot. You know, the people that I know of that have gotten injuries from being barefoot are people who are not regularly barefoot.
I'll occasionally get dings on my feet from barefoot hiking. That's about the only time anything ever happens. But I almost always have more dings on my hands from my workshop or gardening.
Right.
And nobody says, oh, you've got to be wearing gloves all the time for that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's the misconception that if you go barefoot a lot, your feet are going to be gnarly and ugly and banged up. But that's the absolute
not true.
The opposite of the truth. It's the shoes that make your feet banged up and gnarly and ugly. And people that regularly go barefoot are often told they have very nice-looking feet. And it's because they're not banging them up in shoes. And, yeah, I tell people when they first start going barefoot, for people that are seriously making this lifestyle choice, that they can expect to have more injuries in the first 6 weeks of going barefoot than they will in the subsequent 6 years.
For the rest of their life.
Because you're learning. You've got to get your feet toughened up, your muscles, your bones, and you've got to learn how to walk.
Yeah, you need to train your brain
to
a little
relearn.
Bit, too.
Yep. It's a very exciting prospect for some people. I just wish everybody could see that. I mean, maybe
and don't forget the vitamin D concept as well.
Well, yeah.
You get a lot more vitamin D.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, and one last thing, Bob. You've been doing this for a long time, this barefoot thing. Do you think? I think that in the last couple of years, and I think maybe since the publication of Born to Run in 2009, that the whole barefoot movement has gained steam, and that it is, you know, there's progress being made. Would you agree with that, or what do you think?
I would tend to agree with that. Barefoot walking kind of started it, but then barefoot running has really picked off, you know, has really taken off.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the barefoot walking is kind of lagging behind that because the thing is so many runners were getting injured all the time. It's still not clear whether running barefoot will reduce injuries or not, but a lot of people are finding that they could not run in shoes, and they start running barefoot and they can run. So barefoot running is, I think, what's really made the difference more recently and also made some of the barefoot runners be more advocates simply because they'll finish running and try to go into a restaurant or whatever and get kicked out. It's like, what the mean? You know, we got all the rest of these sweaty people you don't care about, and for me, for just this. So I tend to agree with Dan that things might be improving, but there's still an awful lot of ignorance out there.
Mm.
Yeah, it's just
a
matter of education. And, well, who knows? Maybe we can all work on that together here to make sure that in 2012, this time of year will be a lot easier for us.
Oh, yeah.
That's the goal.
All right, Bob. Dan, it was a pleasure having both of you on. It sounds like we'll probably have you on again. In the near future, and I want to thank you guys for taking time out of your